All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Welcome to another episode of Shooting the Shot.
With Patty and Josh.
And I'm chief photographer at the News Herald, Patty Blake.
And I'm her henchman, Joshua Boucher, a not chief. I don't have a title.
You are the professional photographer who takes awesome photos.
Well, thank you. And that is correct.
The awesome photog.
Well, oh, you're so kind.
Today we're going to be talking about yesterday, actually. Today we're going to talk about yesterday. And yesterday for us was the presidential visit.
Yes, President Donald Trump held a campaign rally after visiting Tyndall Air Force Base, and he held the rally at Air and Bessett Park.
Correct. Air Force One landed at Tyndall Air Force Base, and I've never seen anything like it.
Me either. You know, it's like him flying. You know, okay. So let's break it down for our listeners here. Basically, so the president coming to town is a very different process than, you know, your local congressman or a musician.
Absolutely. There's a lot more security, a lot more hoops to jump through. Josh and I, there are a lot of people with emails with our social security numbers in them now.
Well, yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. So we had to be cleared by the Secret Service for...
to photograph the president.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's something I've never had to go through before. This is my first presidential visit. How about you?
This is my first presidential visit, but I did photograph Vice President Mike Pence when he visited Tyndall Air Force Base and different parts around Lynn Haven and Parker.
That's right. You did a great job with those photos. I remember
them. Thank you.
So let's just start with... Okay, so first we're going to break down the process of being able to photograph this, which I think we already did.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah, so we were approved by the Secret Service to be, you know, deemed not a threat or, you know, as far as anyone could know. Mm-hmm. And also that we were from a legitimate, you know, news outlet. We weren't just some random people. And then we were given a lot of emails that, you know, the header was, you know, like off the record for planning purposes only and things mm-hmm. like that. So things that were, you know, information that was not meant for public knowledge for security reasons, but were just for us to be able to plan that.
It was really just a schedule. It was a schedule, like a tentative schedule for where is the president going to be.
And, you know, emphasis on tentative, you know.
Absolutely. Things like, kept changing last second.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works.
That's how it works. You know, you've got a whole nation to run. Yeah,
I know. Getting onto Tyndall any day of the week is kind of hard as a journalist, unless you're going with a PIO or somebody like that. And getting through the gate, you have to sometimes they check your stuff, and that's how it goes. But with the presidential visit, it was like an extra layer of security.
Mm-hmm.
I know all of my stuff was sniffed by a dog twice.
Interesting. Now, mine was not sniffed. I had Secret Service agents and police in, you know, not in like the suits or the earpiece, but instead in bulletproof vests and earpieces.
That's pretty cool. Mine were just in suits.
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, I've always wondered like what the material is, if it is something bulletproof or not.
Ooh.
But I just don't know. But you know, so to break it down, so essentially, the News Herald. We knew that we wouldn't be able to get from Tyndall to the rally. So we had two teams. We had Patty Blake and our colleague Katie Landeck
mm-hmm.
At Tyndall Air Force Base. And then I was then, you know, stationed at the campaign rally at Air and Bessett Park with Colin Breaux and Patrick McCrellis.
Correct. The traffic between the two places was going to be impossible to navigate. They actually had to fly the president in a Black Hawk, I believe.
No, Marine One.
Oh, it was Marine One?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was really fun to watch him take off from Tyndall. Did you see him land?
I did, yes. I photographed, you know, there were two Marine helicopters that looked pretty much identical. And one is Marine One. And I was talking to a press person from the White House telling me what the difference was of these two things, but then there were three Ospreys, you know, the rotor, you know, the tilting rotors.
So cool, don't they?
They look so cool. Oh my goodness.
Gosh.
you know, and then two of these like matching Marine helicopters that could not hear if she told me that both are Marine One. These are things that I will look up later. But you know, it was, and then essentially then the tilting rotor crafts, whose name I'm blanking on the sudden, they landed, and then you see out of it all these White House aides, Secret Service members, some carrying gigantic bags, not really sure what that is, and all of the national media from the White House press corps running out of it as well.
I'm a little jealous. I would love to live that life where you just walk out of an Osprey to a campaign rally.
Yeah.
And run up and get photos of the president. That sounds like a really cool life.
Yeah, but so now, when did you like how early did you get to Tyndall?
Oh, so I budgeted extra time for Tyndall just in case. I anticipated a lot of media there, which there was quite a bit. But I did get there early enough to find a parking spot that fit my tiny car.
2 hours to be 2 hours, or two hours early to be 2 hours early.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, the president didn't get there till much later, but we had to have our bags checked once and then again when we were on base. And then there was a lot of waiting around and then running very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I definitely wore boots yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They look like shoes. They're cool boots. So President Trump walks off of Air Force One, mm-hmm. right? And you were in position with
the national press.
Okay, yeah, same people that I encountered
absolutely.
Then
oh my gosh,
yeah, yeah.
I wish I would have just hopped on the Osprey with them.
Yeah, I remember cool. There were they wouldn't have just taken you on, would they have? Probably.
I don't know. I had the right credentials on to be in their pool, but you know, maybe I don't want national security to.
Well,
yell at me.
Well, and what would you have photographed? You know, it would have, you know, that's the thing too that we have to think about, because mm-hmm. we are a daily newspaper, is we have to think about these deadlines, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you really kind of need it to get back.
Oh yeah, I had my laptop in my car just in case. It wasn't far.
So then, you know, so President Trump, you know, he was there to speak with Colonel Laidlaw, and
he was there mostly to observe damage at the base. It's almost 7 months after Hurricane Michael, and there's still a lot of damage over there. When's the last time you were there, Josh?
I drove past a couple days ago to go to Mexico Beach.
Then you probably saw Hangar 5. It's very torn up. It's kind of the iconic thing that everyone can see from the road. It's missing a lot of the roof. It's just shredded. And that's where the president stood outside of. That's the only time he actually exited his vehicle to walk and observe an area. And he met down there with a lot of Florida politicians, even Governor Rick Scott. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Senator Rick Scott was there.
It's hard, right? You know, when they change jobs and we still have to, you know, we still see him around.
Marco Rubio was there. Neil Dunn was there. I mean, there was just a ton of people there. And he was basically just trying to get the message through that Tyndall Air Force Base, according to the president, will be rebuilt.
You know, when Mike Pence visited, you know, we were like national, you know, well, there wasn't a lot of national media there, but like local media, you know, state media was asked to wait outside for about half of Pence's meeting with people from Tyndall. Did you have to wait around while the president spoke with military officials or things like that?
No, not really. I assume all of that happened while they were in the vehicle.
Because
we kind of, you know, we didn't walk around the base too much. There was a big caravan of vehicles. The president was in the front, media in the back, and that's how I got my steps in.
How roughly how long did you have to photograph the president?
Oh, roughly shooting time, I would say, not counting when he was walking down the stairs out of the Air Force One, they pulled up a bunch of stairs and he walked down slowly and he waved to everyone, and I got a lot of good photos there, and I got a lot of photos of him shaking hands with every politician that lined up to meet him, including our local mayor and the mayor of Mexico Beach.
Wow.
But the actual amount of time that I was able to photograph him at Tyndall was probably around 6 minutes.
That's an incredibly tight period to be able to get a compelling photograph to get a variety of images. That's and from what I understand, that is typical for when you're photographing the president.
You absolutely have no time, and you're competing with a lot of other people who want the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. So what were some of the challenges, and what are you like the most proud of so far?
What am I, photo-wise, which photos am I the most proud of?
Yeah.
You know, I'm really happy that I got the photos of him with our local politicians. As strange as it might sound, I know it means a lot to people to see photos of their local representatives meeting with the president.
Absolutely.
And I do like the photo of all of the people that he was speaking to outside of Hangar 5.
Mm-hmm.
That it's... You know, it's a very visual area on the base. It is one of my, I hate to say it, just one of my favorite parts of the base to photograph when we're doing Hurricane Michael coverage, because it is iconic, in my opinion.
Right. You can't, you know, photograph the fact that, you know, 10% of the F-22 fleet was damaged in Hurricane Michael. You know, you can't photograph, mm-hmm. but there's this, you know, it's just so evident. You can, the power of the storm and the kind of like and the loss that the military, you know, the Air Force suffered from the storm, still today in Hangar 5. So that yeah, and I really did like the way that you framed it. You know, it really looked like these people were, you know, not so much hanging out, but it seemed like a very casual.
That's what it felt like. I felt like I was walking into a very casual conversation,
mm-hmm.
and that's. That's basically what happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, apart from that, you know, he hopped back in the vehicle and then he was off to Pier Park. So I did not have a lot of time. Josh, you, however, had a lot of time, and I'm very jealous, and I love your photos. I think you did a great job.
Aw, thanks, boss. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. Yeah. So it's, you know, I knew that I needed to be ready to be, you know, fully credentialed and checked, mm-hmm. and then let into the venue at 3:30. So I figured the traffic would be pretty awful and there would be a lot of people lined up and hanging out and that I could, you know, speak with and photograph. So I tried to get there around 2:00. So I had about an hour and a half to just walk around and take pictures and mm-hmm. make friends and have a good time.
What are some of your favorite things you saw when you were meeting everybody in the crowd?
You know, I actually ran into the guy that was on the front that I photographed and was the front page.
T-shirt guy.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Exciting.
I ran into him again. And, you know, I almost didn't recognize him because he wasn't wearing, you know, the cowboy hat and he wasn't wearing his clothes that he was wearing when he, you know, when he straight, like left straight from work. You know,
he was out of costume.
He was out of costume, you know, but yeah, you know, so he and I caught up and he told me that his mom bought 5 copies, which, you know, is always great, great
that's
to hear.
Sweet. Is he from here?
He's not from Panama City, but his mom, I believe his mom is in town.
Very so. Nice. Very mm-hmm. nice.
Yeah.
So you met the crowd, you met the people.
Yeah.
And then you went through security to get, how did the process work from getting there to getting to where the aircrafts were landing?
Right. So essentially, you know, I was able to walk around. I was, and then I showed up at the front. You know, I you know showed him my driver's license, like told him who I was. Then, you know, I was told to the Secret Service. Then told me to, you know, put down my bags, and then they searched everything and wanted me down. And then I was led by a White House official to back to where the press pen was going to be,
mm-hmm.
And then just kind of given the rundown that I'd have about an hour and a half to walk around, you know, talk to people, photograph people, you know, filling into Air Invested Park, and then basically at the specific time that we would basically have to then run from where we were to the field kind of behind the back concession stands. And then we'd be able to see the president land in Marine One, along with some, you know, some protective military aircraft as well. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. And we were just, you know, running. You know, the White House worker is wearing, you know, dress shoes, and I'm like trying to have to like, and she's, you know, out sprinting all of us.
Isn't,
you know,
that amazing?
It's, I mean, you know, you, like you have to. You know, you have to be able to run and on like kind of damp grass. So, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very cool. So tell me about the press pen. I've heard that it can be a place where it's a little bit scary.
You know, so there weren't. I was actually, well, the like the the pen with the press risers in the back was actually, it was really large and spread out. There's Wi-Fi there, so people can file their photographs and file their stories. The risers were pretty crowded, but it was mostly with television cameras, and those things are on gigantic carbon fiber tripods, so they aren't going to move. And you don't move them, and then you just can move around them. But yeah. I didn't do a lot of photography from the back press risers because we were allowed to be in a really wide open kind of like photo pit directly in front of the stage. I was really amazed at the amount of access and the amount of time that we were able to stay there. You know, from the first introduction of introducing speaker up into basically about 10 minutes into President Trump's speech, I was essentially like underneath him, you know.
That's incredible. Like, I think I want you to compare this to your access with Sand Jam real quick.
Well, yeah, at Sand Jam, I was able to basically be as far away as the press riser was to the stage for the president, but then only for the first three songs of any of the people. So
I was actually better access to the president than you did to acts at Sand Jam. If that puts this whole thing in perspective,
you know. And I was reading actually this morning, Doug Mills, who is a New York Times photographer, who is who predominantly works in D.C. and is part of the White House press pool. He had an interview with one of the other photographers at the New York Times about it, and he was like, yes, that the president offers it like an abnormally, you know, large amount of latitude for photographers to move around, for you know letting photographers just hang out in the Oval Office for like 90 minutes. Normally they're in there for two or three minutes for other presidents. You know, just having just so much more access, especially for events. And also that, you know, that the president is a much more of a visual thinker and is trying to allow photographers to create better images during their events.
Doug Mills was there yesterday, and I couldn't think of one interesting thing to say to him. I got a little, I got tongue-tied. I couldn't say hello, but I did admire his hat. He is a very avid wearer of hats.
I knew this, but I wasn't. But I was like, "Who is this? Who is this guy?" I think I kind of recognized him, and then I was able to finally get a look at his credential. And
he had his hat on. He was in costume. Come on, Josh.
Yeah, I know. for those that maybe don't know or don't, you know, obsessively follow photographers at national outlets like they're baseball players, Doug Mills is one of our favorite photographers.
Yeah, the New York Times photographer. He's been photographing presidents for probably 30 years.
Yeah, it's just
Doug Mills. You want to be on our podcast?
Anyways, yeah, I also didn't talk to him or the people from, you know, the AP, AFP. Simply because I was just trying to get pictures, and so were they.
You were busy. Oh my God, I can't imagine. You were pretty busy, and you did a huge gallery. It's fantastic. If you haven't seen the front page of our newspaper today, which is May 9th, 2019, you should check out the front page of our paper, because Josh got this awesome photo of President Trump from behind with this woman. It looked like she was taking a picture of him while he was pointing at her. It was just it was a great moment.
You know, one of the things that I was trying to get a photo of, and I think I might have, but I didn't really get the photo that I wanted, was just the amount of people on Facebook Live.
Oh, what an interesting idea.
You know, like, and also the amount of people taking like a lot of video. You know, at concerts, all this kind of stuff, you see a few people here or there, but just the amount of people taking video over photos and people taking like selfie videos at the event, I thought was really interesting. And it's not something I've seen at a lot of other events. Maybe it's just the nature of it just being a political event that, you know, people that maybe are YouTubers or vloggers, maybe we're trying to make like vlog content. I don't know. I wanted to talk to more people, but I couldn't, you know, once I was in that photo pit, I couldn't go out and be like, hey, you there, 30 feet away, I can't go to you. Otherwise I'll get like tackled.
It's like getting on an airplane. You can't like get back on an airplane once you leave.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. So now how did you approach photographing at Tyndall? You brought the 400 with you, didn't you?
I took the 400 millimeter lens we have, and I look very strong in every photo there is of me.
Yes.
That. Yeah. So we were up on a riser, kind of by the runway at a safe distance. And I took the 400 because I really wanted the shot of Air Force One coming into Tyndall Air Force Base, which I got. And I think that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
I think for the community, that's one that we're going to want in, you know, our next Hurricane Michael book.
You know, but people hear that they people feel so forgotten. And just absolutely. To see, you know, it's like, hey, the president is here.
Mm-hmm. So I took the 400 millimeter lens. I had a 16 to 35 and a 200 millimeter lens. I had one bag.
Yep.
And good shoes for running. How about you? And I had a Rode microphone.
Yeah. I brought our other lens that we use for sports, the 300, and I was, you know, kind of juggling between, you know, switching lenses, you know, pretty frequently because I would be really, you know, sometimes I'd have opportunities where it's like I can, in order to get any, a photo that shows anything, I'd have to be, you know, to really magnify it with a 300 millimeter lens. Mm-hmm. Other times I was just like, I just feel like making a really compressed shot, you know. So for those that maybe don't have a lot of technical knowledge in photography and optics, it's like, when you like the longer the lens you use, the closer the subject of your photo appears to be to things that are behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is that called? Parallax shift or something?
No, it's
something else.
It's not foreshortening. I don't know. It's yeah. just you know, but people call it compression. But telephoto lenses compress.
There you go.
It's so essentially. You know, so they're just you know, it's a choice you can make. You know, you can take a photograph of a crowd with a wide angle lens and you'll be able to see everything and, you know, it'll distort things in certain ways. Or mm-hmm. you can get back and shoot that same crowd with a telephoto lens and it'll make the crowd appear different ways. And I kind of wanted to just, you know, not to make the crowd seem smaller, but to kind of give you like a different kind of depth. Mm-hmm. For something like crowd shots and also for like individual shots, I really wanted really tight photos that I would not have been able to like achieve with, you know, these like the mid-range zoom that I use for 80% of my photography or just the medium telephoto that we use for
mm-hmm.
most of our photography. So, yeah.
I switch lenses a lot. I don't know about you.
I was worried because it was so windy.
Oh, it was extremely windy where I was. I feel like Air Force Base, kind of open air.
Yeah, yeah.
It was not kind to anyone's hair.
Oh my gosh, no. Yep. No. Yeah, for real. You know, and also because I was, you know, and I brought the 300 with me, you know, because I didn't. I just, you know, when the woman from the White House told us that we're going to be in the photo pit, I just didn't anticipate to actually be that close. So I'm, mm-hmm. you know, directly underneath the president with a lens that I use for when I'm photographing, you know, volleyball from the top of the risers.
That's
you know,
exciting, right?
It was. I was able to get, and I think it, you know, when you know for beginning photographers, you know, I mean, the gear. Don't think too much about the gear.
Absolutely, you need to think about the situation you're in more and how close you want to be.
But at the same time, if you use a different, you know, different gear than the other people, you'll get different results. Because of the nature of how optics work, mm-hmm. you know. So I knew that, you know, I felt confident that I'd made the right choice because the other photographers were using, you know, very different gear to photograph the president and were standing in different positions. So I knew that I was going to be getting something that other people would not see and photograph the situation in a way that other people weren't, so that they would be getting something unique from my photographs.
Very cool. Okay, we need to start wrapping this up a little bit, but I want to hear you tell me your favorite photo that you shot yesterday.
Oh my goodness. I don't know.
It's like picking children.
You know, I just loved, see, the energy at the rally was just so unlike.
You were amped when I talked to you.
It was such a chill vibe. I mean, there were some...
Really?
There were just really chill vibes. You can see that more in my gallery online and on my Instagram. Is just, you know, people walking in, people are kind of taking a nap on their blankets. You know, they played YMCA three times and people
were... You kept track.
Yeah, and people were dancing and they did the dance.
Oh my gosh, I see like at least two Hawaiian shirts in your first photo you pulled up here.
Lots of Hawaiian shirts. Just people really having just, you know, they were out to go and have fun for the most part. You know, it wasn't this kind of dour, eat your vegetables kind of event like most other political events that we photograph. And yeah, you know, people really groove into to Michael Jackson and to We Are the World. You know, people were just really having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like most of Bay County was out there.
Yeah, exactly. I ran into a lot of people I know. Doc Rohan, for example, you know, so local politicians, just regular, mm-hmm. you know, small business owners, people mm-hmm. like that. Yeah, so I was just really wanted to show that vibe. And of course, that ended up not being like I knew that wouldn't be the lead photo for the paper. So then I chose the photographs that we discussed earlier on in the podcast. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that because of the internet, there's now a space to put something that allows me to really accurately show the just kind of the energies that I was feeling mm-hmm. in addition to just like the, you know, the who, what, where, when.
There's about 100 photos in that gallery. Maybe how many did you cull that down to?
Oh, well, I mean, on Instagram, I've got like two little of those like flippy little gallery things so far. I'm going to do another one later on, like when I get home tonight. But yeah, it was late. And I just thought of that quote. I didn't have time to write you a short letter, so I wrote you a long one. So that's kind of why there's so many photographs.
That's well phrased. Yes, if you'd like to see photos from either event, Tyndall Air Force Base, or the rally last night, you can go to newsherald.com.
And also the description of this in the episode description of our podcast.
Very nice. And is there anything else? I think that's all of it. You know all of our secrets now. All right, this has been Shooting the Shot
with Patty and Josh.
It's a wrap.